A very pleasant afternoon to you today, and we are so glad to be able to be with you as we go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. A very happy April 5th. We are glad to be able to be in your service. We thank you for your interest, and we hope and pray that as you call in your questions, that you will not ever hear anything that we have to say, but that we go straight to the Bible for the answers. And thus we are letting the Bible speak. And by the way, those of y'all that are frequent listeners, you know our lines often fill up and the questions tend to pile up toward the end of the broadcast. So why not go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564, that is the voice line. If you want to call in your question, you can do so right now without having to wait. And we'll be glad to get your question, and it can either be written down and brought into us, or you can go live on the air. The only thing we ask is, if you want to go live, is for us to give us your name and also be ready to turn your radio down so there's no confusion over the echoes. And so please just be ready to do that if you want to go live on the air. Again, that number, 308-9564. But you don't have to use the voice line if you're skimmish about that and a little bashful, then you can text us if you'd rather. You can text us at 725-9283. That is the cell line, the cell phone line to text with, 725-9283. One more little bit of information. Those of y'all that are getting people to tune in all over the world and those of you that live in other parts of the world, please note that it is area code 843 here in the United States, area code 843, and then the numbers. And we will be glad to take your call, your question, your text question, any way you want to ask. We are glad to be able to be of service to you today. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725. 9283, 725-9283. So now's your opportunity to get your question on the air and the answer taken from God's Word, where God Himself speaks through that Word, and hopefully it reaches not only our head, but our heart, and also brings us into action as we want to obey Him to please Him. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. And we'll let the Bible speak.
We are again grateful and thankful for this opportunity. We are grateful and thankful for you, the listener, and the opportunity we have together as we look into God's Word and share His truths with you. And we are so thankful that we do have a Bible, that we do have an information from God that can instruct us and guide us, and we are not left on our own. One of the things that is a great benefit from God is listed for us in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. We've been maybe a while since we've mentioned this verse particularly, but that verse is so important. It is the basis of all that we should do and say and practice and teach and to live in our lives. Those passages in 2 Timothy 3 tell us that all Scripture is inspired of God, given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. That means it is good for doctrine, and it is good for reproof, and it is good for rebuke, and it's good for instruction in righteousness, for the purpose that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, completely equipped. Whatever we need, God provides that in the Scriptures. That's why we let the Bible speak, because we don't have that kind of information. We don't have that kind of knowledge and wisdom, but God does. And that's why we turn to Him. When you ask your questions, we turn to the Scriptures. And so it is good for doctrine. And we'll talk a little bit about doctrine. A lot of people think every church has got its own peculiar doctrine, and that is so. And it's interesting that the Bible is the source of doctrine. Did you ever realize that? The Bible is the source of doctrine. And so if the Bible is the source of doctrine, then how many different doctrines should there be out there? Well, there is one Bible, isn't there? There is one faith. There is one God and one Father of us all and one Lord. And so it only makes sense that there is one doctrine. And so our task today and every Sunday when we're on the radio program or when we're teaching somebody is to go find out what that doctrine is. So if you're curious about some question you have and want to know what is God's doctrine about that, then give us a call here at the station, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And if you are even more curious about what God's doctrine is, then as we talk about our Bible correspondence course, call that number and participate in a Bible study where 553-5157 will give you all the details of what you need to do and to know and understand about the doctrine that's in God's Word. So give us a call and let's together let the Bible speak.
And you may have a knee-jerk reaction or a little bit of not appreciation for the word doctrine, because a lot of times people have that kind of sentiment that has been put into them. But when the Bible uses the word doctrine, it's just simply meaning teaching. Teaching. That is, of hopefully, teaching of God's Word. I know we shouldn't be listening to man. You hear us say that quite often, and we encourage you not to listen to us. But we need to listen to God and His teaching and let His Word be what we hear. And when we're taught by Him, that is, His doctrine, His teaching, then that will bring forth fruit for eternal life. If we hear it, if we obey it, and we do what God says. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, those same commandments He teaches. And thus we're following the doctrine of Christ. And thus we're able to be pleasing to Him as we hear and obey what He has to say. Matter of fact, can we really even call Him Lord if we do not do the things that He says? Yeah, that's right. We can't. Because Lord means master. And a master commands, the slaves, the servants, obey. And so if we're going to be His servants, we've got to obey His word. So now's your chance to go ahead and call in your question to 308-9564. 308-9564, that is the voice line, and it is available. Both lines are available right now, so hurry, go ahead and get in your question, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather just text us with your cell phone, you can do that by calling 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind.
As we listen to your questions, and as we receive them in, throw them a text or for the phone, we immediately start looking in the Scriptures for that answer. Sometimes we have to use a search, a concordance to find that particular word and to find the passage. But we want you to know that we diligently seek to do that because there is so much confusion that is out there about what indeed the Bible does say. And it's interesting that that is really not anything that is new. That has always been the challenge of people in whatever century they have lived. In fact, when Paul talked to Timothy, he said in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy in verse 3, he says, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other teaching or no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." Well, we don't want to be guilty of those things. We want to be able to go to the Scriptures and find the answers to your questions. That is really the only thing that will make any difference in your life or my life and in your eternity and my eternity. So please take the opportunity to call us in, to participate here with us, and we will go to that scripture, find that word, find that teaching, and then share it with you, and then we can both have the faith which comes from hearing the Word of God, and we can participate and grow together in the wonderful treasures of God's Word. So give us a call, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283.
Yes, we have a caller calling from the area code of 518. That's a new area code. And their question is about marriage and divorce. And I'll read the question, then we'll go to the Bible. It says, I know that the Bible says a man shall not divorce his wife unless she commit adultery. Well, I got a letter that she wrote to God about the men she's sleeping around with. My question is, can I use this for a divorce? Well, first of all, I'll let you know, I don't know anything about how our court system works today. All I can do is point to you about what God has to say, and we'll let the Bible answer this the way it says it. In Matthew chapter 19, and you say you know this already, and this is, you're exactly right, it brings out laws about marriage. Before there ever was children involved, a father and a mother, God lays down laws, guidelines for marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then Jesus adds, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so there we can see that there's what God had intended for marriage. However, sometimes those marriages can be violated. Those agreements, those covenants that they made with each other. He says, Matthew 19:9, therefore I said to you, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another, I'm skipping for a moment, whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So here there is a exception in the middle of this verse that I skipped over, and that would be except for fornication, except for adultery. Whoever marries them, except for the cause of fornication. That is the exception that's brought out in this verse. Again, all of verse 9 says, and I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for immorality or fornication, and marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So you can see there that God's teaching is, just like you said in your text, that is the only cause for, a reason for, the motivation for putting somebody away that God would accept. And so again, that's Matthew 19, verses 3. And go ahead and go through verse 12, because it was shocking information even for the apostles, it seemed. In verse 10, we see their reaction. So thank you so much for your question. And we hope and pray that is helpful to you. I would imagine, as far as your question is concerned, you would have to look into the marriage laws in the particular state that you're in. Thank you again. It's time for us to take our first break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Financial assistance. Everything we offer on this program is absolutely free, so put away your checkbook. Do not send us your tithes or offerings. Rather, let us give to you priceless treasure that will never be destroyed or taken from you. Let us share with you the wealth that only God can give. Let us share with you the hope and peace that passes all comprehension. Let us help you discover the treasure God wants you to have in heaven. If you'd like a free Bible correspondence course, call us at 553-5157 for a free Bible correspondence course. Did you know hell was not made for man, but for the devil and his angels? Jesus went to prepare a place for mankind in heaven, but it's our choice where to spend eternity. God does not force his will on any of us. The devil is real, and he's called the god of this world, deceiver of the whole world, and described as cunning. He's been busy. What if, by his efforts, you may have been led to believe you are saved and have a right relationship with God, yet the Bible says you're still outside of Christ and still in your sins? Wouldn't you want to know that? Why live with a question in your heart? Seek the truth and know God's will for you. Why not choose to learn the truth of where you stand before God before you leave this life? Why not let God show you the way? Know the truth while you can correct your path so you can walk in His way. How many times have you missed an opportunity to get your life straightened out? Don't miss out again. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If we miss heaven, we've lost everything. Call 553-5157 and enroll in this free Bible course and let God take control in your life. 553-5157. You will never regret letting God enrich your life by learning what His plan is all about. And once you've enrolled, call us at the station with your question that you'd like answered live on the program. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text your question to 725-9283. Now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Welcome back, and we are glad again to be with you today, and we hope and pray that as you listen that you will be thinking about the questions that you might have, things that maybe have bothered you through the years and maybe never really asked somebody, maybe afraid to ask somebody. But this is the opportunity for you to do just that, and we want to encourage you. Don't be shy, and don't think it's a stupid question, because any question that you don't know the answer to is an important question, especially as it appeals to your soul according to the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and things of that degree of importance. Regardless of whether you think it's a silly question or not, if you don't know the answer, you need to know the answer. And so we want you to participate with us here today. And you can give us a call here at the station. We have someone by the phone who will take your question and bring it in to us. And that number is 308-9564. Or you can text it in to us. And that number is 725-9283. And as you have just heard about this Bible correspondence course that we offer for free, we don't charge you a thing for it. In fact, we don't want you to send us any money, because this is what we do to serve you. This is what we do in preaching the gospel. Jesus nor the apostles never charged. In fact, he commissioned the apostles and said, "You have freely received, freely give." And so we take that very much to heart and want to make sure that we give that to you free. We do not want to impose any burden upon you that is not necessary and not required. So the Lord, His grace is freely given, and that extends to this Bible correspondence course as well. So we invite you then to take that course. That number is 553-5157. You call up, and that number will ring. It'll pick up, and then it'll ask you for your name and address. And if you could, just give that to them. Follow the instructions they give you. And then we can send that course out to you yet this week. So what a wonderful thing it would be to be able to study the Bible on your own, on your own time, in your own home, without any pressure from anyone else. And so please take advantage of the opportunity. Give us a call, and we will turn to the Scriptures and see what God says for us to believe.
The number is 308-9564. The lines are both available, so now's your chance. I know many probably today are out in a special occasion that happens once a year in many religions across the across the world, where they celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a very special way once a year. But ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully what I'm about to tell you. God never told us to do that once a year. He actually has told us to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection every first day of the week. We were kind of waiting on that question to come in because we knew it would come up today. But let's go ahead and address this right now. And those of y'all that have just perked your ear up, that caught your attention, then write these verses down that we're about to share with you. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. We see there clear instructions about how that we, God's people, are supposed to gather together to commune with him, eating the bread and the fruit of the vine. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. That was something that was done often. And that word is in there twice. You can see that in the passage. So what does the word often mean? Now, of course, it's not a number. But everyone listening to us right now, do you eat often? Yeah, okay. All right, you eat often. You can say you do that. Do you go to the store often? Well, yeah. Some of you men, I just heard you. I know you said my wife goes a lot more than I do. I know, but do you actually travel across the United States often? Well, now, no, you wouldn't say I go often. Maybe you've done it once before. I don't know. I've never gone all the way across. And so when you look and you think, okay, well, often is something that is done. It is done regularly. It is done very, very recent. It is something that is done often. We know what that word means. But for some reason, our religious friends would not say that they partake of the Lord's Supper often if they only do it once a year. Matter of fact, most would say that they do not partake of the Lord's Supper often when they do it once a month. But I admit that in this passage, it does not say how often that they partook. I agree. But it does tell us that we're to do it just like Paul did it. Look at verse 1. Be ye followers of me, just as I am also of Christ. And so, Steve, how often was it that Paul partook of the Lord's Supper?
Well, we find in Acts 20, verse 7, that he went to the church at Troas. In fact, it acts like he waited until that day to come. And so it was on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. And I think that's an interesting phrase.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the first day of the week, and then it says what was significant about that day when the disciples came together to break bread. So that's what little bit we can read about what Paul's habit was,
mm-hmm.
and not only his, but the other disciples also did the same.
Yeah, and when you look at that verse, if it had said first day of the year, we would have understood they came together once a year. If it had said first day of the month, everyone would understand rightly that it would have been a monthly event that they came together to break bread. But it didn't say year. It doesn't say month. It says first day of the week. So therefore, everyone, this being honest, would conclude that this was something they did every week. And that's actually accurate because when you look at history, you look at the other passages in the New Testament talk about first day of the week. Oh, they interpret it that way then. For example, the other passage is talking about the contribution. Steve, have you ever run into a church that only takes up a contribution once a year?
No.
Have you ever come into one that only takes up a contribution once a month?
No. I imagine if they did, a lot of people would like to go there.
Yes, they would. But the thing is, the same phrase that's used for the Lord's Supper is used for contribution.
It makes you wonder what we're emphasizing.
Yeah, that's right.
If that's the case.
And then many of you, of course, is a frequent question to this radio broadcast, call in and ask about tithing and how that there is intimidation, even line people up in lines to be able to get as much money as possible out of you. And the thing is, Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money, nor do we, nor should we. We give to the Lord because we love him. We can give cheerfully and bountifully, but just like the New Testament says, but no one should ever be compelled, forced, intimidated to give. And if you're going to a group, a church, an assembly that brings that kind of twisting in your pocketbook, then you should really carefully consider, is that the place for one that loves God? You may have a question about this. We're about to go to our next break, but while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions at 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Those of y'all that know that at the end of this broadcast, they tend to pile up, get ready. That's going to happen, so don't miss out. Get your question in right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
If you would like to study and learn God's Word with a Bible correspondence course free of charge, please call 843-553-5157 to enroll. We'll get Lesson 1 on its way to you right away. 553-5157. Enroll and discover vital information that's always been in God's Word you may have never heard before. Denominational sources cannot allow the whole truth to be taught because of the doctrinal restrictions of their faith. Is it possible the God of this world, the devil, has effectively blinded spiritual leaders in order to keep the truth from getting out to the people? History is full of such examples. After all, was it not the spiritual leaders that delivered Jesus to be crucified? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Should we not let God himself establish our faith as we study directly from his word and not man say so? Should we not let God speak to us through his word? Call 553-5157 to have your first study lesson sent immediately. The result of such restricted teaching is that many who think they're safe and on their way to heaven may, in fact, still be lost in sin. Ask yourself, have you ever read in your Bible about denominational divisions or denominational names? Shouldn't we let the Bible speak now while we have a chance to correct our course to the straight and narrow path that Jesus revealed for us to walk in his word? Call 553-5157. Enroll in this free course and let God speak directly from his word to show the true path that leads to heaven. Call 553-5157. Call now. And if you have questions you want answered live from God's Word today, call us now at 308-9564 or text your question to 725-9283. Now is your chance to find out what God has to say from His Word as we let the Bible speak.
We are back live now. We want you to know when we said that about money before the break, we were serious about that. Matter of fact, this course that we just told you about, it is absolutely free. We'll never ask for a contribution. We'll never ask for any kind of donation. Please just put away your checkbook. Put away your wallet. We do not want you to financially support us at all. Did you hear me? That's something you don't hear on the radio every day. Please do not send us your tithes and offerings. Do not send us your contribution. Here's what we want to happen. We want to give you, send treasure to you, treasure that will never be taken away. So why not get it in the mail to you even this week? All you have to do is call 553-5157 and leave your name and address and follow those instructions, and you will get that course in the mail to you this week. One more time, that number is 553-5157. It is a free Bible correspondence course. That means you get it in the mail, you fill it out, you send it back, we grade it, and send it back to you along with the next two lessons. Then you study through those. And by the way, get out your Bible in these, check it out, make certain that there's no mistakes. And you'll be our friend if you correct us, I guarantee you. God is the one that's going to have the final say. And so if we're making a mistake, then we want to know about it. So we'll grade those next two lessons, and then we'll send those back to you, and along with the next three lessons. And so you get the idea, and this continues on course after course. There have been people on our course system for years. And so the Bible is inexhaustible. We can study this the rest of our life, and the more we study, the more we see that we don't know. And that's just how truly deep God's Word is. So get this on the way to you, 553-5157, and you will be able to be blessed from God's Word Himself, God speaking through His Word. And by the way, you may discover things. No, I will probably assure you, if this is the first time you've received this course, you will discover things in God's Word you have never seen before. Don't be surprised on Judgment Day. Right now is your chance to discover those things. Again, that number, 553-5157. If you have a question for us, go ahead and call right now. Both lines are available, 308-9564.
And not only are we interested in having people sign up for that free Bible correspondence course, but we have talked to people throughout the area who have maybe misplaced it, maybe forgotten about it, maybe just let it drop maybe after one or two lessons. And it is not too late, folks, to re-up, as it were. If you're in the military and you do your 2 years or 3 years and you have the chance to re-up. And so we offer that chance as well. If you've discontinued it and things got busy, but now you're going, I'd really like to do that again. I was learning so much. Then call that number, and we'll send you another one, and that won't be any problem for us at all. It's more than one and done. We'll give you as many opportunities as you need. In fact, we'll give you as many opportunities, or try to give you as many opportunities as the Lord gives us to get our lives right. And so take advantage of that opportunity. And then there's something else that we do, that if you've taken that course and said, I'd like to know some more things, or I would like to have the opportunity to sit and discuss the Bible with somebody. Well, guess what? We'd love to do that with you, too. Ricky and I both do that a lot, and we find that so enjoyable. And we find that the people we study with find that so interesting and compelling, too, because you get to ask questions and get the answers right there on the spot. And we can tailor that Bible study to where you are in your walk. And that is a good thing as well. The Bible Correspondence Course kind of has a theme that goes by. And so we're able to adjust the teaching to where you are and what you would like to know as well. And so please, if that be the case in your situation, then call that number too, 553-5157, and just say, I'd like to have somebody come by and have a Bible study with me. And we will be honored to do that and do what we can to do what we do here. Just open the Bible and let the Bible speak. So it may be that you would like to do that. Again, 553-5157. If you've got a question, call here at the station, 308-9564, or to text us at 725-9283, and we can turn together and let the Bible speak.
We have a text question coming in, and their question is, and this is from the last three digits of 113. The question is, should an interpreter be present with it when someone is speaking in tongues? I would take it from the way your question is worded as if something like that is done today, and so I need to go to what the Bible says about tongue speaking to begin with, and then we can look at some of the stipulations. When you look in Acts chapter 2, here is the very first place that tongues speaking is done in God's Word. So let's look and see what it looked like, what they were doing, and then we'll be able to compare that with what's going on today. In Acts chapter 2, it was the day of Pentecost, and God had promised to send the Holy Spirit, who was going to guide them into all truth, back in the book of John. He says that several times. And when you look and see, it says in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's the very first time this practice is ever mentioned in God's Word. Now, it mentions there were people from all over the world there in Jerusalem, And then it says in verse 6, when this sound occurred, that would be the sound referred to in verse 2, like a rushing mighty wind. It says, when this sound occurred, a multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Yeah, this was a language. And they recognized the languages that they were speaking. And then the question was, well, they were amazed, said, look, are not all these Galileans? How is it that we hear? Now I'm reading verse 8, chapter 2 and verse 8. Hopefully you are looking at it in your own Bible. It says, and how is it that we hear each in our own language? And that's a little bit different word there. That literally means, more precise, a dialect. In our own dialect, our own language, and even our own dialect in that language in which we were born. So, that now not once, but twice, it brings out that these were languages that man understood. Oh, you doubt that? Well, look on down to verse 11. It mentions many of the places they were at. Verse 11 says, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So, not only did they recognize the language, they understood the message. So, not once, not twice, but three times, God's word says that this tongue speaking were languages of man, that man understood. Now, you're actually referring to an abuse of these things as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it does bring out, says, that everything is supposed to be done toward edification. And so if it's not edifying, they were to keep their mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what it says. Maybe not that blunt, but read chapter 14 and you'll see that, because it was supposed to be edifying. How much was supposed to be edifying? It says, let all things be done unto edification. So that's why it is so important that would be have an interpreter, so people would know if they were speaking in Spanish or Italian and they can only speak Greek, that someone be there to translate for them. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Knowing that those languages were languages of men is a big step toward the understanding of that. Thank you so much for your question. You're to be commended for that. Thank you very much for listening and writing in your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. Both lines are available. And so go ahead and call. The phone number for the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. Go ahead and call right now. Both lines are available. 308-9564. And we'll let the Bible speak.
And yes, it is true that there needs to be an interpreter. I don't know if you had talked about that or not. I didn't pick up on that. I was doing something else at the time.
Yes, if there were tongues speaking today.
Yes, there should be an interpreter there. And so that's a very important question. And in chapter 14, it also talks about tongue speaking. And some people look at that verse and say, oh, well, that's okay to speak in a language that no one understands. That's okay when I'm speaking to God. And they get that from one of the verses in chapter 14 early on. But it is also interesting that when Paul continues in that chapter to talk about that, he kind of infers that, no, it's not a good thing to speak in languages that no one understands, because no one understands. And so when he talks then about praying in a tongue, he says in verse 13 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is, it didn't do him any good. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So it's very important that we be able to understand what we're saying. And so there is no special honor or glory or spiritual growth indicated by saying something that nobody understands, not even ourselves. And so it's important then that we get that message from the Apostle Paul, that whatever we think we're doing, we need to be able to have our mind engaged and our heart engaged in order for that to be pleasing to God. And so that's very, very important, too, when you think about this idea of tongue speaking. So if you've got a question, give us a call, 308-9564. Or text us at 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we have a caller calling in, last three digits, texting in this question, 113. I guess this is dealing with the reference about the giving. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 showed that it was supposed to be done on the first day of the week. Again, that reference was 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. The question is, well, then why did the Bible say it is better to give than receive? Now, that is a reference to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, where they quote Jesus in the book of Acts. Interesting enough, it brings out something that's not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but here it is in the book of Acts. In chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, "And remember the words of our Lord when he said, 'It is better to give than to receive.'" And so that's where that reference is given. You're right. And that's what the Lord does say. But that's not talking about what 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 is exclusively talking about. That is a giving of our increase. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That is a given based upon their prosperity. But this Jesus refers to here is a general principle of all life. For example, how much did Jesus give us of himself? How much? Yeah, he gave us everything. He left heaven in all its glory. He left the prominence of his position. He was equal with God, Philippians chapter 2 brings out. He gave us everything. Well, how much did the Father give? It says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." He gave us his best, his only Son. So that principle is true. We are to be givers. As Jesus taught the proud apostles, finally, the very last night before his crucifixion, he got down and washed their feet that they might learn it's better to give than to receive. It's better to serve than to be served. And thus he demonstrated through washing their feet. And so that's the principle of life. A child of God should be a giver of service, a giver of opportunity, and certainly a giver of the treasure of life that will help toward eternity. And so that's what this verse means, and that is a general principle of life of what a Christian should look like. Let me encourage you to also reference or read Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 7, 8, 9, 10, right in there. Just read that. And look at what our Lord looks like, and we should be just like him. Time for us to take our next break. We want you to know while we are at break, you can continue with your questions, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
You are very important to God. So important that God allowed his only Son to become a man, flesh and blood, to provide a way for you to go to heaven. It was very expensive and costly. God's love for man is so extreme that he sent his only Son to become a blood sacrifice that we might have a chance to live with him in heaven. To soften our hearts, Jesus demonstrated his love by showing how much he was willing to suffer for us. By his stripes, we can be healed. His love was vividly demonstrated by his brutal torture and crucifixion. This opened the door for us to be saved from our sins and give us hope. His suffering hopefully opens our hearts to gratefully respond to his plea to join him. Unfortunately, most churches do not teach all of what we should do to accept God's forgiveness. With only partial instructions given, we're still left in sin, and the blood that was shed to wash it away may never be applied for salvation, leaving us still lost. So what is missing? Would it surprise you to know baptism into Christ is part of God's instructions? The answer has always been right there in God's Word. From the day the church began, it was practiced and taught, but not so much today. And would you be surprised to know there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible? Find the answers in God's Word. Enroll in our Bible course today. Call 553-5157. Hell was not made for man, but for the devil and his angels. Jesus went to prepare a place for mankind in heaven, but it's our choice where to spend eternity. God does not force his will on any of us. He expects us to seek, knock, ask. Why live with a question in your heart? Ask for a free Bible course. Call 553-5157 to enroll and let God take control of your life. Seek now while you have the chance to correct your path and find the way to heaven as you let God direct your life. Call now, 553-5157, and enroll in this free Bible course, 843-553-5157. If it's busy, try again in a few moments, and you will get through, 553-5157. If you have questions you want answered on today's broadcast, call 308-9564 for the voice line, or text your question to 843-725-9283. Now is your chance to find out what God has to say from His Word as we let the Bible speak.
And you know, what we give you is absolutely free. We'll never ask for a donation, never ask for any kind of contribution whatsoever. We want to give you treasure that will never be taken away from you. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that most churches, maybe even the one that you went to today, they are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Because of the denominational doctrinal box that they must exist in. And thus, those walls that their doctrine or their man-made doctrine has come up with, they cannot teach or at least elaborate on what God's Word says about those things. So why don't we just remove the barriers that keep us from knowing the truth and get into the Word and seeing things for ourselves? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go ahead and get this course on the way to you. 553-5157. It is free. The only thing you have to lose is sin itself, hell itself, living with the devil for eternity. Now, I don't think any of y'all want that, but ladies and gentlemen, that's what we all deserve. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wage of sin is death. So let's get rid of that. Let the Son of God redeem us by His own blood so that we have a hope of heaven and to be able to walk with Him in truth of God's Word. Go ahead and call 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call our voice line at 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Well, someone named Green has done just that. They have called the voice line 308-9564 with a question, and the question has to do with Easter. They want to know, is it a holiday from the Bible? Well, the etymology, the origination of the word holiday, originally meant holy day, and so is Easter a holy day of the Bible? Well, if you look in the scriptures, especially in a translation other than the King James, you know what? You can't even find the word Easter in the Bible. Now, that is almost shocking, isn't it? The reason it's shocking is because everybody almost today in the Charleston area who goes to any kind of religious organization is involved in Easter activities. Well, when the name itself is not in the scriptures, that is, the name of the holiday is not in the Bible, then there's not a whole lot that we can talk about of what the Bible says about Easter. And so when you think about all that's done for an Easter service, somebody told me they saw a sign about the bunny hop, Easter egg hunts, and all those kinds of things. If it is a holy day that is talked about in the Bible, then, and churches are practicing those things, then where are those practices found in the scriptures? And we can kind of look all day and all week, and, you know, I don't think we're going to find anything like that. And if you know of some verse that talks about egg hunt and bunny hop, and even the word Easter in any translation that's a good reflection of the original languages, then we would like to find out about that and to see whether or not that is indeed the case. So the answer to the question that Mr. Green has asked, or Mrs. Green, is that no, there is no holy day, no holiday in the Bible called Easter. We had talked about earlier in the program that what the holy day that we do observe is the first day of the week, and we commemorate both the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by partaking of that which he said that we should take, and that is unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. So there we find a day specified, first day of the week, and we find how to observe that, unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. And so that's what we find when we talk about observing and celebrating something having to do with the resurrection of Jesus. So we appreciate your question. Any follow-ups on that, we would be glad to take those as well. And we will continue to look into the Scriptures and see what it says to us.
And if you have a question, go ahead and continue calling in your questions right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. Talking about text line, we have this question just come in. Wants to know, what is worshiping in spirit? Well, that's a great question. Looks like you're a first-time texter question. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you, all of y'all, for participating in today's broadcast. Very good and important question. It is taken from John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And actually, the question came up to kind of, it seems as if, to take the attention off of her situation. Nevertheless, Jesus accommodates this and answers her question. And he says in verse 23, her question was, where do we worship? And his answer is, but the hour is coming. This is John 4:23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that is important. Here Jesus is what he says. That's what it's got to be done. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. So your question is, what is worshiping in spirit? Well, the very word worship itself helps us to understand what is meant by this. The word is prosthuneos, and it's the idea of falling down in doing homage or showing respect or worship or respect to the one we are focused on. So worship is falling down and kissing the feet of, basically, of the one we are worshiping. That is showing it must come from the heart. It's got to come from deep within us, and then it's got to be according to truth. John 17:17 defines that. When Jesus prayed, he says, thy word is truth. So that's got to be in truth, and it's got to be according from our heart. Our heart's got to be involved, our heart must be engaged, and it's got to be according to truth. Now, if it's all heart and no truth, well, it's not going to be pleasing to God. We must worship in spirit and truth. If it's all truth and no spirit, we're just dead as zombies, well, that's not going to do any good as well. It's got to be in spirit and truth. And that worshiping has got to be shown, falling down before, doing great respect and honor toward him who sits on the throne. All right. That's what it means. We are focused on him. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, today in the service that you were part of, was God the one being communicated to, or was God the subject matter of what was being communicated about? You see, this passage says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is to be the audience, and all of us are to be the worshipers. But no, that's not what I see many times. What I see in many churches is man is entertaining man. The people up front are entertaining the ones in the pews. And if you doubt that, then maybe if you're part of one that has applause and then the people in the pews applaud the people up front, or they show their approval, or if they mess up, they show their disapproval. So what we got to do is to make certain that God is the one that is worshiped. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Looks like we've got a live caller standing by, and Latalo, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Yes. There's a quote in the Bible.
Hold on a second. We're trying to get this worked out.
Okay,
now we can hear you. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, too.
You're welcome.
It's somewhere in Matthew, I think. But there was a quote that says, can anything good come from Nazareth?
That's in John 1, Latalo, and verse 46.
John 1, 46. So does that mean that they just took anything good to come out from Nazareth, that the people and the things there were inferior? How can you interpret that? How has that been interpreted by biblical scholars?
Well,
can anything good come from that? What does that mean? Are you gay coordinate with a ghetto or with something negative? Well, when I talked about it, I said, that's interesting. Well, why would they say that as if nothing good can come from Nazareth?
Yes, that seemed to be the case. Seemed to be a reputation about those in Nazareth. Nazareth was in Galilee. And Galilee, again, was not famous for all the educators and learned people that came from Galilee. They were fishermen, common people. And so when the apostles, the Sanhedrin had noticed the apostles were all Galileans, then that is not something that necessarily impressed them, except they had known that they had been with Jesus. So that's all I can gather from the statement Nathaniel makes, that can any good thing come out of Nazareth?
Yeah, it was a reputation.
Kind of a slur.
Does that help, Latalo?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate that because I just wonder what that means. Would be Jesus from there? And nothing including them was considered good. I mean,
that was what they were thinking. But it was just the reputation of the city. Corinth also had a very bad reputation as well. You probably know cities today that have a very bad reputation right now. And those things do happen, and many times there's reasons for it. And so that was the case there as well. Thank you. Thank you, Latalo. We sure do appreciate your call.
Thank you, man.
All right. God bless. Time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, don't miss out on getting your question in. 308-9564, that is the voice line. 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Everywhere we look today, we see many different churches teaching many different things. But when we look into the Bible, we see Jesus say, "I am the way and I am the truth." As he revealed his word in the New Testament, he speaks of just one faith. Isn't it time to search and find that one way, one truth, one faith? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So isn't it time to look to God's Word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness? We want to send you a free Bible course in the mail. In this correspondence course, you may find it amazing how much you learn and how many things you may have never seen before. Isn't it time to listen to what our Creator explains to us about our purpose in this life? The answers have always been in God's Word. Is it possible that our enemy has blinded us from seeing the truth? Is it possible we might have missed important instructions that shows us the way to heaven? Don't wait thinking you'll have time later to learn and change. How many friends and relatives have you known who, without notice, left this life to begin their eternal existence somewhere? So go ahead, call 553-5157 for a free Bible correspondence course to find the answers each of us needs to meet our Creator, because He is the one who can tell us where we will spend eternity. Who better to show us how to put our lives together than the one who designed us to begin with? Prepare now. Call 553-5157. Enroll today for a free Bible course to be sent to you right away. If you're interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak event in your community, please call to make those arrangements as well. 553-5157. If you're already active in the course, wonderful. Now is your chance to call us with your Bible questions, and we'll let the Bible speak with the answer. Our voice line is 308-9564, or you can text your question to 843-725-9283. Now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are grateful, again, to still be having the lines open and looking forward to your questions. We are getting several questions in, and we are so grateful for that. That's what drives this program, and so it is helpful for us to be able to listen to your questions, to be able to go to the Scriptures, and therefore be of service to you in the time that we are on the air. Again, if you would like to be a participant, like some have already done, I just heard the phone ring again. 308-9564 is the line here at the station. You can also text us in. It's maybe a little easier because you don't have to wait on the phone. And that number is 725-9283. And as always, we want to encourage people to be able to read and study the Bible for themselves. When Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," in John chapter 8 and verse 32, that's a very important promise, a very important blessing. One of the things that we can be free from is free from sin. That's one of the things Jesus came to free us from. He also came to free us from man's teaching and the traditions that were even prevalent in his day. I mean, he had a lot of questions from the Pharisees and Sadducees based on their traditions and why he wasn't keeping their traditions. And so he answered those with the typical wisdom that Jesus displays and has. And so we encourage you to join with us in a study of God's Word and sign up for that Bible correspondence course so you too can know the treasures that come of the words of eternal life. That number is 553-5157. Call us now and we will continue to let the Bible speak.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a new question. I don't think it's ever been asked on the program before, and so I'm just excited about that and appreciate it very much. And the last three digits of the text number is 865, and they want to know, what does Malachi 4:6 and Luke 1:17 mean when turning hearts of parents and children? And I thought to myself, well, now that looks interesting. And so let me go to the Malachi passage first, which says, and this is in the middle of the prophecy about how the Elijah / John the Baptist was going to come and before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And so he came, John the Baptist did come. He preached, as said other places, even throughout the Old Testament. He made the way straight. He filled the valleys. He made the way ready for the coming of the Lord. And that's exactly what John the Baptist did. Even professed by Jesus, that's what he did. Part of that was, no matter what rank or authority man showed, displayed, or had achieved in this life, the preaching of the good news, whether by John or by Jesus' disciples, all had the same effect on everyone, and that is, it leveled the playing ground for everyone. Those that were of note of power and position, whether high priest, Pharisees, Sadducees, the same message was applicable to all. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, 29 says there's neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free nor male nor female, for if you are Christ, you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So whether slave or free, even, there is no rank in the kingdom of God. There is no such levels as fathers or mothers of the church. I know some of y'all use those labels and those expressions and those titles. But in the kingdom of God, there is no rank in the kingdom of God except save to one individual, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the first, the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that deserves all the glory and honor. And if we give it to another, we will deserve the same punishment that Herod got in Acts chapter 12, where he failed to give glory to God and he was struck by God, eaten of worms. Or even Moses was punished, not allowed to go into the promised land because he failed to honor God. If we take glory and honor away from God, we are deserving of the same punishment. It didn't work with Moses, Herod. It doesn't work today as well. God gets all the glory and honor because he is God and we are not. So as far as spiritually speaking, call no man father on earth. Don't call no man rabbi. Call no man pastor, apostle, preacher with a capital P or T or any kind of title. We are all brethren. If you doubt that, read what the Lord said in Matthew 23, verse 7 and 8, and you'll see exactly what he meant. And then follow that up with chapter 28 and verse 18, where he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So thank you so much, Don. We sure appreciate your question, and we hope and pray that was helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We only have about 20 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of y'all are just now getting out, and don't swamp us too much, but go ahead and call. We'll try our best to get to your question today as we let the Bible speak.
We have a question from Leon, and Leon has another question about Easter that we had just a little bit ago. And Ricky talked about worshiping in spirit that someone asked about as well. And so we're going to try to blend those two together. The question that particularly Leon has is, should Christians be involved with churches that have Easter programs? The previous question we had about Easter wanted to know if it was a holiday that was mentioned or taught in the scriptures. And the answer, of course, was no. The word itself was not even found in a properly translated Bible. And so that, is, of course, gives us indication that that's not something that we ought to be worried about or concerned with or even practicing. But someone asked, well, where did all this come from? Why all this attention? It's got to be in the Bible because all these religious people are doing it. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 15 that tells us something that's very, very important. The traditions that Jesus found when he came to the earth were very much like the traditions that we have today. And so as they asked Jesus, why don't your disciples keep the traditions of the elders? I mean, of their day, of the Pharisees and scribes were asking him this particular question. And Jesus' answer back was rather interesting. He says in verse 3 of Matthew 15, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? That's a great question. Why would we keep traditions of men and not the commandment of God? And he goes on to say that this is an example of hypocrisy. And he says this is exactly what was true in Isaiah's day, and it was also true of their day. Notice verse 8 and 9 of chapter 15 of Matthew. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These traditions, these commandments of men, all these things that we do, that the people do special on this one day of the year, where does that come from? It doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from the traditions of men. And so that worshiping in spirit and in truth, that worshiping in truth that John, that Jesus talked about in John 4, 23 and 24, that truth is the Word of God. You shall sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth, is what Jesus prayed in John 17 for his apostles. And so if we can't find in the scriptures, if it's not taught, then it can't be worshiping in truth. So the answer to the question is, should I be involved in something that is a commandment of men? Well, how would we answer that question? Well, no, we shouldn't be involved in anything that has to do with commandments of men. If we do, our worship is what? Jesus says our worship is vain. It's useless. And the other thing is, if it's not part of worshiping in spirit and truth, then do I want to be involved in something that isn't of spirit and in truth? And again, the answer to that question would be no, I don't want to be involved in something like that. So should we be involved in something that is a tradition of men, that is not taught in the scriptures, and is not worshiping in spirit and in truth? And Leon, the answer to your question would be no, we ought not be interested or involved in that at all, because then it will bother our relationship with God, and that will not be a good thing. What a tragedy it is to do something that we think is honoring God, and God says, it's not honoring me. And so that's the reason why we should be very, very careful to know what the truth is and to do that. And so, Leon, we appreciate so much your question.
We have a question from the last three digits of 816. Their question is, what does it mean that God's words are spiritual? And we want to go ahead and just go to that. That's a very easy question. In John chapter 6, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. Jesus shows the contrast between carnal, physical versus spiritual. And the people were listening to him because their bellies were filled. They had a carnal, fleshly reason for following him, the second day, that is. And he lets them know there, you're not following me because of the spiritual implications, but the physical. And they didn't like that. They murmured against him. He continued to try to get it across to him and said, I am the bread of life. You need to eat me. You need to drink me. I am the one that you should be longing after. They didn't get it still. He said, the words that I speak unto you, that's what is important. He says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone has heard and learned, they come to from the Father, they come to me. They still didn't get it. They turned and walked with him no more. After he said, verse 63, the words I speak unto you are spirit, they are life. Oh, they didn't like that at all, because they wanted physical benefits to serving the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Is that your motivation? Have you been motivated to give of your tithes because you're expecting a reward? You're expecting it to come back to you? Uh-huh. You see a parallel here? Well, anyway, just thought I might point that out right quick. It is a spiritual reward. It is spirit, eternal, those things that will never be taken away from you that God wants to give us. And that is what he desires. And by the way, he finally turns to the 12 and said, are you going to go away too? And they say, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Thank you. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that. We've got a few more questions, but we're going to go ahead and take to our last break. While we are at break, do not hesitate to call in 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. We also want you to be aware, this Bible correspondence course that we're about to give you is free. I did say the word give. We will never ask for any kind of donation. And you will discover things that you may have never seen before that most churches are keeping you in the dark about. Let us send it to you absolutely free. You have nothing to lose. And we're serious about this. At least 3,000 of y'all know this already. This is free. We're glad to send it to you. Here's the information on that. If you already got the course, call us with questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Finding the answers to life are so important. God made us, and he put us here with an instruction manual. Many products say on the box, some assembly required. we too have some instructions given to us on how to put our lives together. This one job we cannot bluff our way through without God's help and instructions. So many of us have tried and failed and wonder, what's gone wrong? How did I get in this mess? What happened? God has the answers on how to understand what happened, and how to clean it all up. The world doesn't. The world is broken and doesn't even know it. Let God show you how to put your life together as it should be. Call now, 553-5157. Let us send you a free course in the mail to learn how to prepare for the day when you will meet your Creator as your judge. Call right now while our operator is standing by during this program at 553-5157. You may discover things you've never seen before in God's Word. If you're already active in the course, wonderful. Call us with your Bible questions now, and we will let the Bible speak with the answer. Our voice line is 308-9564, or you can text your question to 843-725-9283. Now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back live now, and if you've never gotten the course, a couple of weeks ago we had the Flower Town Festival, and many of y'all came by, and we were thrilled to be able to meet you, by the way. We were glad to be able to put a face with your interest, and we thank you so much for coming by. But I was amazed at how many of y'all had never enrolled in the course. It is free. As you can see, we gave you material free of charge there to Flower Town Festival, 115 of you, and we are glad to be able to give you this in the mail, too. If you've never received the course, go ahead and call 553-5157 and get that on the way to you this week. Studying the Bible for yourself, you learn a whole lot more than listening to two tongues on the radio talking and flapping our lips on the radio. So get into the Bible yourself, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Again, that number to get it to you is 553-5157. Or you can text us with your question at 725-9283. Or the one means that you can do always is 308-9564. That is the voice line. 308-9564, and here we go with a lot of questions coming in right now. 308-9564. All right, here's a question. I've got one on text in text about herbs versus modern medicine, and I think you've got one that was voiced in as well.
Yes, I do. Edward asked the same thing, and he asked, does the Bible say anything about today's medicine and the herbal medicine in Jesus' day? Well, not specifically contrasting the two. You'd kind of have to do your own research about today's medicine and whatnot. But, you know, God made the herbs of the field. He made all things good for mankind, and people have used those for many, many, many centuries. There were physicians in those days, and they didn't dispense medicine, modern medicine, but they dispensed herbs. Luke, in fact, who wrote the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, was referred to as the beloved physician in Colossians 4 and verse 14. And so the idea of the practice and the use of herbs, anise and dill, cumin, mint, all those kinds of things mentioned in the Bible, were used. And there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7 that it was useful to those who cultivated those things. And so, but as far as a difference between modern medicine and the herbs of Jesus' day, there's nothing said about that. We're also told that Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake in 1 Timothy 5:23, and so even alcohol had some medical benefit. So that's about all I can tell you, Edward. If you want to know about modern medicine and what all is composed, I suggest you do your own research on that. So appreciate your question. Appreciate your desire to know what the Bible says. And so anybody out there else wants to call, 308-9564 or text us, 725-9283.
The next question comes from the text line, the last three digits, 923. They want to know, should a Christian drink any type of alcohol at all? Well, Texter, the word alcohol is not in the Bible. And so here's what the Bible does say, 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm just going to focus in on verse 3 and 4 for the sake of time. I think I texted you 1 through 4. And that passage says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentious lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." There, three levels of drinking, intoxicating drinks are mentioned. Drunkenness, revelries, which has the idea of a party associated with that, a party spirit where we just relax and just let and chill out and such. And then drinking parties would be likened to more like cocktail parties. That is, it is an occasion to drink. That was the purpose of it. And all of those are condemned here as not worthy of serving the Lord. And so, again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4. Make that verses 1 through 5. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. Next question.
We have another question about Easter from Thomas. If we celebrate Easter, are we in error with God? I'll just refer you to, Thomas, the passage you looked at just a little bit ago in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, where Jesus says that if we teach as doctrines the commandments of men, then we are vain worshipers. And we don't want to be vain worshipers. And so if you read those that whole text in chapter 15 of Matthew 1 through 9, read that and then ask yourself the question, should I be doing something that is not commanded of God? And does that put me in error with God? And that that will help you guide you through that question that you ask us. And so we appreciate so much your concern about doing that which would be pleasing to God and would not put you in jeopardy with God. And so we appreciate that so much, Thomas. We got a lot of questions on the line. We got about 3.5 minutes, and so we need to kind of move on here with all the rest of our questions.
Right? Next question is from Leon. He wants to know, does the Bible say anything about making money on church grounds? Well, first of all, the Bible says nothing about church grounds, not coffee grounds, not on the dirt or any kind of building. There's no such thing in the Bible in the New Testament as church grounds, so let's get that understood, first of all. But the place of worship, when we gather together, I'm going to apply it that way, if that's okay with you, Leon. And that is in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, where it talks about a people that was using God's people making merchandise of the church. It says, "By covetousness, they exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." There were people that were actually using God's name, God's gathering, the idea of Christianity in a way for their own exploitation, using those deceptive words and such. And so that was not able to, that was not appropriate. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And so you can just read the whole context. We've got a live caller coming in right now.